ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रं कर्णे भश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुपागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैयदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः In Mandukya Upanishad, we are doing the concluding fourth chapter called Alatha Shanti Prakaranam. And this chapter happens to be the chapter mainly meant for Mananam. It's a Manana Pradhanam Prakaranam. Gaudapadacharya begins this chapter with an invocation. Wherein, the very first verse, he invokes the grace of Bhagavan Narayanaha in the form of his teacher. Then the second verse, he offers his salutations to the very knowledge, the Advaita Jnanam or Atma Jnanam. And in offering salutations to the Advaita Jnanam, the Atma Jnanam gained as a result of the teaching, he presents three adjectives to the Atma Jnanam. One adjective is Sarva Sattva Sukha. Second word he mentions is Avivadaha. The third one is Aviruddha. All these three words are in masculine gender. Why? Because the Atma Jnanam, the Brahma Vidya, which is gained as a result of the teaching, is presented in the masculine gender as Asparsha Yogaha. These three words actually glorify the Atma Jnanam. They describe adjectives describing the glory of the knowledge. This vision of the non-duality of the reality, which one attains through the teaching, is in fact non-contradictory knowledge, and it is beyond all the arguments and debates. Because the very Vedanta Shastram, which is a means of this knowledge, which serves as a means of the attainment of this knowledge, is non-contradictory because it does not support any one given theory of creation or does not support the view of any one given philosopher. Mainly we think of the 10 philosophers, Astika Darshanikaha, the believers of the 4 philosophers, proponents of 4 systems of philosophy, who accept Veda as the Pramanam. And there are rest of the 6 philosophers who are Nastika Darshanikaha, the proponents of the systems of philosophy which do not accept Veda as the Pramanam. So Vedanta Shastram does not contradict any of these philosophers, systems of philosophy. This knowledge does not contradict any of the views of the other philosophers. Why? Because it doesn't support join any other system of philosophy or any view of any philosophers. Second thing, it is also beyond the debates and arguments. Why? Because this Vedanta Shastram does not have its own theory of creation. If the Vedanta Shastram had theory of its own theory of creation, then it is possible for it to contradict with other theories of creation. If it joined or supported any other theory of creation also, then it would have been involved in the arguments. Now it is free from debates, arguments and contradictions because it does not have a theory of its own. Nor does it support any other view. Why it doesn't have theory of its own? Because the Vedanta Shastram does not even accept creation. According to Vedantic teaching, there is no creation at all. There is only manifestation. Only if we accept that as there is creation which is real, then I have to produce a theory how the creation has come into existence, what is the origin of the creation, etc. Vedanta is very clear in establishing that there is no creation at all. Therefore, it is said to be what now? This Asparsha Yoga, the Vedanta Shastra Dwara attainable knowledge. This knowledge attained through the Vedantic teaching is said to be what? Avivadaha, debate free. And aviruddha, non-contradictory. Now, in this word avivadaha alone is separately taken and elaborated in the following three verses, three karikas, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So, Gaudapada Acharya, in order to make it clear how Vedanta Shastram or the knowledge gained through the study of the Vedanta Shastram is non-contradictory and non-contradictory or free from arguments, to prove that, Gaudapada Acharya further he elaborates in the following three karikas, 3, 4, and 5. To elaborate that, he brings in two other popular, strong, the powerful views of two systems of philosophy. The Sankhya philosopher's view and a Nyaya philosopher's view. The Sankhya philosopher and the Nyaya philosopher both are the Astikaha, I mean they accept Veda as the Pramanam. Predominantly they are logic based philosophies, but they accept Veda as a subservient to their logics. Therefore, Tarka Pradhana Darshanam is Nyaya Darshanam. Tarka Pradhana Darshanam is Sankhya Darshanam. Predominantly, they use logic as their means of knowledge. And but they also accept Veda to subserve what they try to establish through their logical arguments. In fact, the Vedanta's vision of the non-duality of the reality establishes the fact that there is no creation at all. This establishment of that there is no creation through the vision of the non-duality of the reality is called Ajati Vadaha. The word Jatihi is a feminine gender word which means creation or origination, birth. So Ajati means non-creation, no creation. Ajati Vadaha means the vision which presents the creation being not there. Whereas the Sankhya philosopher's theory is called Satkarya Vadaha. And Nyaya philosopher's theory is called Asatkarya Vadaha. Sat means existent, Asat means non-existent here, which means they both have their own theory of creation. Which means this universe which is experienced now at present is a creation which is real. This universe is real. This creation of this universe is real. This creation is real. Both of them have the same view that creation is real. But they differ in their views of creation. So this universe was already existent, and already existent universe alone has come into existence. Because from a non-existent thing, an existent thing cannot come into being. This is Sankhya philosopher's view. What was already existent alone has come into existence. Whereas the Nyaya philosopher says, what was already existent need not come into existence. Therefore, this universe is something which has come into existence out of nothing. So the non-existent, the universe which was non-existent before, alone has originated, has been created. It is the view of a Nyaya philosopher. That is why he is called as Asatkaryavadi. And a Sankhya philosopher is said to be Satkaryavadi. So that is mentioned in the third Karika. So third Karika only mentions the two different views of two different systems of philosophy, the Sankhya Darshanam and Nyaya Darshanam. Just to mention, he says Vadinaha. Kechid Vadinaha means some people of a school, given school of thought. Bhutasya jatim icchanti. They prefer the creation of the already existent universe. Bhuta means already existent. Bhutasya jagataha jatim icchanti. They prefer, they like the origination or creation of the already existent universe. They like means what? They are very clear. They argue that already existent universe alone has originated. Then apare, the apare means other people. Apare vadinaha, you can say, the people of other system of philosophy called Nyaya Darshanam, they say abhutasya, you can say abhutasya jati michanti. They prefer, they like this view of jagat, the non-existent jagat coming into existence, which means they argue stating that this non-existent universe alone has newly originated. And these people, here the word dhiraha implies, even though the word dhiraha means wise people, the clear men of clear vision, but here the so-called philosophers who are very intelligent but still whose views are fallacious are known as here dhiraha. Sometimes the right word is used in the negative sense. Even though they are very men of very great thinking, still their views are fallacious views. That's what is implied by the word dhiraha. These people, parasparam vivadantaha bhavanti. Vivadanta means they mutually argue with each other. Mutually they refute each other. They negate each other, pointing out the fallacy in each other's philosophy. So, the fourth verse, the fourth Karika present, how these two philosophers, mainly the Sankhya philosopher and the Nyaya philosopher, Satkaryavadi and Asatkaryavadi, you know, negate each other, refute each other. That is said in the fourth Karika. Bhutam na jayate kinchit. Bhutam na jayate kinchit. అభూతం నైవ జాయతే, నైవ జాయతే వివదంతో ద్వయాహేవం, తోద్వయాహేవం అజాతిం ఖ్యాపయంతి తే, జాతిం ఖ్యాపయంతి తే. సో హియర్ భూతం న జాయతే కించిత్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ సెంటెన్స్. భూతం న జాయతే కించిత్, the already existent universe never is born, never is created. Already existent universe cannot originate, does not originate. The first sentence is a negation of the Sankhya philosopher's view by a Nyaya philosopher. Why? Because he says, an universe which is already existent can never come into existence. Why? Because it is already existent. How can an already existent universe originate? It is illogical to say that something which is already existent originates. This is refutation of the Sankhya's view by a Nyaya philosopher. Then you see the second line, abhutam naiva jayate. Abhutam, a non-existent universe will never originate. Never does it originate. Can never originate. Why? How can a non-existent thing come into existence? Origination of something non-existent also is impossible. For something to emerge, to arrive at newly, it must be there already. So he says, how can abhutasya, abhutam naiva jayate, a non-existent thing can never originate, can never come into existence. The second half of the first line of the fourth karika negates the Nyaya philosopher's view. And who negates? A Sankhya philosopher negates the Nyaya philosopher's view. Therefore, vivadantaha. And these two people, we have to understand very clearly, they are also Advaitins. Why they are also Advaitins? They also say, this universe, mainly Sankhya philosopher, is also very close to Advaiti. But he also says, this universe is non-separate from its cause. He says, this creation, this universe is a newly created. Created means what? It was already existent. But what was already existent is what? Prakritihi or Pradhanam, which is the cause of the universe. And the same Prakritihi alone, Pradhanam alone, is in the form of this Prapanchaha universe now. And what is the Prakritihi? What is Prapanchaha? Prakritihi is something wherein all these features and faculties, the names and forms remained unmanifest. And the prapancha is what was before the features, faculties, and the names and forms, the functions, etc., which remained unmanifest before, they become manifest now. So what was there before alone is now also in the form of the universe. What was dormant alone has become manifest, which means it is, this universe is real. That a new creation, which was already there, has come into manifestation. In fact, the Prakriti, is said to be the Karanavastha, the universe is Karyavastha. The two different configurations of the only substance. Like pot and clay, in both pot and clay, substance is one and only clay. What is pot and what is clay? Clay is a different configuration and pot is a different configuration. Substantially, they are one. The difference is only in condition, avastha. But substantially, they are non-different. Therefore, there is a very close to Advaitam. Therefore, here Acharya mentions Advayaha. You're going to see the, but once you talk about the creation, they become Dvaitinaha. They are not Advaitinaha actually. They sound like Advaitins. They're very close to Advaitins. In fact, they're all Dvaitinaha. Whoever accepts the creation as reality is a Dvaiti. One cannot say the universe is real, but still, then he can't say there is Advaitam. Universe is real means then there comes the Dvaitam. The duality comes there. So here he says, these two powerful philosophers who accept Veda as a Pramanam, even though predominantly they are logicians, accept logics as the pramanam. The parasparam vivadantaha, they argue with each other and negate each other's views, dismiss each other's views, and they refute each other's views because pointing out the fallacy. See, one should be able to point out the fallacy in other person's philosophy to refute it. So both of them do not see their own fallacies. But they see the fallacy in other person's view, so they can easily refute other person's view. See, both of them negate each other's views. We're pointing out the fallacy in each other's views. So parasparam vivadantaha, ajatim khyapayanti te. So what do these people do? These other philosophers khyapayanti means they indirectly add glory to the ajati vadaha established by the vision of non-dual reality, established through the vision of the non-duality of the reality. They add glory to khyapayanti, they add glory to, they make this ajativada popular. Do they directly popularize it? Make it popular? No. A Sankhya philosopher will not accept the Ajativadaha. If you say there is no creation, he will not accept. But as, of course, a Nyaya philosopher will not accept the Advaitins Ajativadaha. If you say there is no creation, but they indirectly, as though they have accepted now. when they refute, no, they themselves quarrel among themselves, they now fight with each other, they negate each other's views, and finally what now, thereby they, it contributes for the vision, the fact, glorification of the fact that there is no creation. So Ajat, they indirectly, they become supporters, inadvertent supporters of the Ajativadaha, that there is no creation. Okay, Ajatim Khyapayanti. Okay, I think this much, this, until this verse we have done earlier. Khyapyamanamajatim taihi. Jatim taihi anumodamahe vayam. Vayam. Vivadamonatai sardham. Avivadam nibodhata. Vadam nibodhata. Khyapyamanamajatim taihi anumodamahevayam vivadamonatai sardham avivadam nibodhata. He says, so ajativadaha, see, ajatihi ajativadaha is khyapyamanaha, or ajatihi khyapyamana. Ajatihi means what? Non-creation or non-origination of the universe. Establishment of the fact of the creation being not there. There is no creation at all. Is what no ajatihi, isn't it? Non-creation of the universe, or universe being not there at all really, is what no khyapyamana. Khyapyamana means what is made, what no, more recognized, made more popular. How? Through the refutation of each other. Refutation of each other's view of both philosophers. So, these Sankhya philosophers, Nyaya philosopher, they refute each other's view. The refutation of each other's view by showing the fallacy in each other's view contributes indirectly for the, you know, support of the, inadvertent support of the ajativadaha of the Advaitin. Therefore, vayam anumodamahe. Vayam anumodamahe means what here? Gaudapada Acharya includes all the Advaitins with himself. He says, vayam anumodamahe. We really are very happy. At there, we are happy at what? We are very, very happy. We really congratulate, we appreciate, we really acknowledge their indirect, inadvertent support to the Ajativadaha. Through the refutation of each other's views. Isn't it? It's good. Yeah. Therefore, taihi sardham na vivadamaha. We will not pick up any argument with any of those philosophers. So we did not know. We can simply remain there quietly, remain as a witness, okay? Not involving. See, I present my vision. You know, what is the vision of Advaiti? There is no creation. There is only manifestation. And then what happens now? Saying this, you remain calm. Don't need to go and argue with other people. Why we don't need to go for arguments? We can remain quietly, see the other people who all believe in one thing, that there is creation, for whom creation is real, and they themselves, we can see them quarreling and refuting and negating, dismissing each other's views. So do we need to take part in arguments? No. I did not get into any argument to prove that what I'm saying is correct. They themselves, I remain quiet and I see them refuting each other's views, and that their refuting each other's views itself indirectly contributes as inadvertent support to what I am saying, that there is no creation. Therefore, na vivadamaha. But now, we do not really get into any arguments or debates. We do not argue. Vivadamaha means what? We do not argue. Why? By arguing, what should I do? By arguing, by involving myself in argument, I only should try to establish, is it, my vision. But I need not do that. Why? They themselves indirectly support my vision. By pointing out the fallacies in all, you know, each other's views. By refuting each other's views. So all the philosophers, in fact, we're going to see, are going to find fault with all other theories of creation. All the philosophers will point out the fallacies in other theories of creation, and they'll negate all of them. All of them will get negated. Isn't it? This is what is said to be actually Yadaviya Kalahaha. Yadaviya Kalahaha means, a Kalahaha means actually quarrel, fight, isn't it? It seems the Yadava clan, the people of Yadava, Yadu Vamsha, they all became very powerful and strong. And they became powerful means they became very arrogant. And there's no way of correcting them. And somehow they have to, that clan has to come to an end. How? So they were made to fight among themselves. And they all killed each other and they died. And here also, Ajati, the person who presents his vision that there is no creation, Ajativadaha, the person of Ajativadaha need not go and argue. He can remain quiet and see how others, you know, they quarrel and fight with each other and they negate and dismiss each other. That's what is said here. Taihi sardham na vivadamaha. Do not argue with any of them. Therefore, avivadam nibodhata. See, the word avivadaha introduced in the second karika is, you know, further taken for discussion, and the discussion on the word avivadaha ends here. Avivadam nibodhata. May you understand very clearly, nibodhata, what? This advaita jnanam or atma jnanam or brahma jnanam, the vision of the non-duality of the reality, attained through the teaching, being free from all debates and arguments, being beyond debates and arguments. Therefore, the explanation of the word avivadaha, or you can say the commentary upon the word avivadaha, ends here with this fifth verse. Now hereafter, from verse 6 onwards, Gaudapada Acharya 6, 7, 8, we can say even 9 and 10 also, these 5 verses, he presents the essence of the Vedantic teaching in a nutshell. But actually, what is the essence of the Vedantic teaching? Earlier, in the third chapter, it's a fourth chapter, isn't it? In the third chapter, what was said in verses 22nd, 23rd and 21st and 22nd, 3 verses, the same thing, the content of the Karikas, the 20th, 21st and 22nd of the third chapter is really brought again in these verses. So to understand these verses, we can go back to the explanation of those verses also. So let us read here. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya jati michanti vadinaha. Vadinaha ajato hyamruto dharmo, ajato hyamruto dharmo, martyatam kathameshati ajatasyaiva dharmasya jati michanti vadinaha. Ajato hyamruto dharmo martyatam kathameshati. The shastram, the Vedanta shastram, finally gives the vision that all that is here is only Brahma. There is only Brahma. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. There is no second thing, a second reality other than Brahma. Which means there is no Jivaha, there is no Jagat, or there is no Ishwaraha also. So Jiva, Jagat, Ishwara, Swarupa, Aikya, Jnanam. The knowledge of the oneness of the truth or the reality of the Jivaha, the individual, Ishwaraha, the Lord, the concept, and Jagat, the creation, the universe, the objective universe. there is no really Jagat, there is no real Jiva, there is no real Ishvara. What is really there is only Brahma. What was before was Brahman. What is now in the form of the universe is Brahma. And what is going to be later also Brahma. Which means there is no creation at all. And this Jagat is actually manifestation of the Brahma. Nothing but Brahma. And to say that there is no creation, the Upanishad has to say there is no effect. To say there is no effect, Upanishad has to establish that there is no such thing called cause. There is neither karanam nor karyam. There is neither cause nor is there effect. Therefore, you cannot talk about the creation. There is no creation at all. To establish that there is no karanam, therefore to say there is no karyam, therefore finally to say there is no creation, finally to say that there is only manifestation of Brahma, is only Brahma. To make it clear, Upanishad has to make it clear that there is no karanam. And here, in these verses, he is pointing out the fallacy, the thinking of the so-called even religious people. Doesn't matter which form we worship, which God we worship, whom we pray to, the majority of the people in the world are of this opinion or of this view that this universe has come into existence from the God, the Lord. Which means Paramatma, Bhagavan, the Lord has created this universe. Which means Paramatma or Bhagavan is the cause of this universe. So you can say, even if you use the word Brahma, Brahman is the cause of the universe. And this universe is the karyam, the effect, which has come out of Brahman. This is the understanding they have. And this creation, so Bhagavan is the creator, Jagat is the creator, created creation. And the creation they see in twofold forms. As what? As the Jivaha, the one who is created here to enjoy this objective universe. And there is the objective universe, Jagat, which is meant for the enjoyment of the Jiva. So Jivaha is a creation of the Jivaha, the enjoyer of the universe. And there are many Jivas who have been created to enjoy this universe. And there is an objective universe which is created for the enjoyment of the Jiva as Jagat. This Jivaha Jagat is a creation of the Jivaha and Jagat, which is the entire creation, which has come from what? Paramatma. It means the Paramatma alone has become a Jivatma. Paramatma has become the, this Jagat also. The Paramatma is the Karanam. And everything that is the creation here. This is what they think. And here, what is the nature of the Paramatma? If Gaudapada Acharya asks this question, or Shankar Bhagavatpada asks this question, or whichever Acharya, whichever Advaitin asks this question, puts this question to those people, so-called religious people, who think that Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, Lord has created everything. Therefore, Lord, the cause of the universe. So this universe is the effect. Just come out of the Lord, if they think, if you ask, what is the nature of the Lord? If you ask, all of them will unanimously accept one thing. Lord is the infinite. Nobody will deny the fact, deny this. Mechanically or blindly, or that is with thoughtfully or thoughtlessly, somehow they will say this. God is eternal. God is infinite. Paramatma is infinite. Bhagavan is eternal, infinite. They will say this. Whether whichever form he worships, for anybody, God is almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, and infinite, eternal. They all accept this. If they accept that God is, Lord is infinite and eternal, infinitude or eternity implies what? Timelessness. Timelessness implies what? Beginninglessness. Beginninglessness should imply what? Endlessness. That implies what? Changelessness. Anything which has a beginning, we have to listen carefully. Anything which has a beginning, which has an end also, is definitely subject to all the modifications. Shad vikar, yad yad jatam, tat tat shad vikaravat. Whatever has come into existence is subject to what? Sixfold modifications, including the coming into existence. So modification is a change, is something, isn't it? The nature of anything just come into existence. So, but here, any cause, the cause is that which has to undergo a change to become an effect. So any cause, being without undergoing a change, a cause cannot become an effect. Isn't it? So if something has to become an effect, it has to undergo a change, and then it must be subject to sixfold modifications. Like asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, then vinashyati. Sixfold modifications. So if the Paramatma is eternal and infinite, the Paramatma must be of the nature of changelessness. If Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness, then Paramatma cannot be the Karanam. Cannot be the Karanam. If Paramatma is the Karanam, then Paramatma cannot be eternal, infinite, and Paramatma cannot be of the nature of changelessness. Understand? Therefore, here he says, generally,
ajatasyaiva dharmasya jati michanti vadinaha, ti michanti vadinaha.
So here we say, there is only Paramatma, isn't it? But here they say what? Paramatma is there, Paramatma is the Jagat Karanam, and Jagat is Paramatma's Karyam. Where he says, Ajatasya dharmasya. Here the word dharmaha means, implies the jivatma, jivaha, or Ishwaraha, Paramatma. So Paramatma, who is unborn, who is of the nature of changelessness, has not been born as a jiva. How can Paramatma, who is of the nature of eternity, infinitude, thereby who is the nature of changelessness, no, become a, undergo change and become the cause, become the jivaha? And how can Paramatma become the jagat also? So he says, ke vadinaha ja ichanti. Ichanti, ichanti means what? No, they hold on to the view. They like it, they prefer it, they hold on to this view very strongly that the Paramatma has undergone a change. Paramatma alone has become this jiva, Paramatma has become the jagat means, they talk about what? Birth of change on the part of the Paramatma, who is of the nature of changelessness. Then he says, Ajataha amrutaha dharmaha. Ajataha means what now? The unborn. And amrutaha means immortal. Why? Birth is also a change. Death also, mortality is also what? A change. Isn't it? Birth and death are two changes. Big changes. Is a modifications. So, and here, this Paramatma, the infinite, eternal Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness. Why? Because it's also of the nature of all pervasiveness. One who is of the nature of all pervasiveness cannot undergo any change, any movement, any motion. Therefore, we say the eternal, infinite, all-pervasive Lord is what? Definitely changeless also. Such a Lord, he says, who is of that nature? Such a Lord, martyatam kathameshyati. How can you say that attains mortality? How does that Paramatma become the mortal jivaha? How can the Paramatma, changeless Paramatma, who is of the nature of changelessness, undergo changes and become a mortal jivatma? Here, the word dharmaha, if you take it as a jivaha, who is jivatma? We say there is no jivatma at all, first of all. It's like saying the space obtaining in a room, which is said to be the space, room space, actually is not, there's no room space. It's only, there's only space. Isn't it? There's no room space at all. There's only space. But because the walls which stand in the space seem to be dividing the space, you get this expression room space. Really speaking, there's no such a thing called, it's a relative term, there's no absolute room space. There's only absolutely what is, there is only space. Similarly, there is only Paramatma, there's only Param Brahma Chaitanyam. There's only absolute reality. There is no such thing called Jiva.
There is no jiva at all. There is only Paramatma. And Paramatma has not become Jivatma. When you say there is no jiva at all, and how can you say jiva subject to mortality? The non-existent jiva cannot have a birth, cannot have death also. You must establish first of all the existence of jiva. Then you can talk about the birth of the jiva and the death of the jiva. There is no jiva at all. There is only Paramatma. There is only Parambrahma. There is no jiva. Like there is no room space. Just as there is no real absolute room space, similarly there is no absolute jiva. Therefore you cannot talk about what now? The birth of the jiva and the death of the jiva. You can talk about the birth and death of something which is there. Therefore, katam martyatam esheti, how can you say the jiva, there is no such thing called jiva, there is only Paramatma, who is of the nature of changelessness, who is of the nature of immortality, who is of the nature of birthlessness, beginninglessness, ajatasya amrutasya dharmasya adharmaha. Ajataha amrutaha dharma katam martyata meshati. How can you say, I am a jiva, born of Paramatma, an object, I am going to die one day? Katam martyata meshati. How can it have, how can it be subject to mortality? Isn't it? Which means, it simply got Paramatma has to undergo a change to become a Parama Jivatma. It is not possible, isn't it? The reason he is going to give later on. Therefore, so people attribute birth to the reality Paramatma, which is of the nature of changelessness. And also what? They also say what? No, they, when they attribute death also to birth to Paramatma, they also attribute what now? Death also. Isn't it? Which are changes. So unborn, immortal, everlasting, changeless Paramatma, how can it become a mortal? Jiva. Therefore, birth of the jiva has been already negated there, very elaborately, isn't it? There is no jivatma at all. There is no death of jivatma. There is no birth of jivatma. The Paramatma also is not, isn't it? There is no birth. There is no creation of jiva at all. If the jiva has to be born out of Paramatma, then Paramatma must undergo a change, which is also not possible, because Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness. So Paramatma is not the karanam, jivatma is not the karyam, there is no karyam at all. There is no Paramatma is also not the karanam. Therefore, there is no creation. Okay? Therefore, what is there is only Brahma. This is the vision revealed in this sixth karika. Okay? He continues. The same thing is discussed a little differently in the following two verses also. Shankara says here, these verses have been already commented upon in the previous chapter. So he says, I am not going to again explain much, just understand these verses. That's what he means in his Purastat Krita Bhashyaha Slokaha. It has been earlier commented upon. Na bhavatyamrutam martyam. Vatyamrutam martyam namartyam amrutam tatha nabhavatyamrutam tatha nabhavatyamrutam martyam nabhavatyamrutam martyam namartyam amrutam tatha namartyam amrutam tatha ప్రకృతేరన్యథా భావః ప్రకృతేరన్యథా భావః న కథంచిద్ భవిష్యతి న కథంచిద్ భవిష్యతి. స్వభావేనామృతో యస్య స్వభావేనామృతో యస్య ధర్మో గచ్చతి మర్త్యతాం ధర్మో గచ్చతి మర్త్యతాం. కృతకేనామృతస్తస్య కృతకేనామృతస్తస్య కృతం స్థాస్యతి నిశ్చలః కృతం స్థాస్యతి నిశ్చలః.
పీపుల్ హు బిలీవ్ దర్ ఇస్ క్రియేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ రియల్ and who also think and this creation in the form of jiva and jagat, the experiencer and the experienced world, experiencer jiva and the experienced jagat, the universe, external universe, has its cause. The creation in the form of jiva and jagat has its cause, has Paramatma as its cause. And there is some people think there was Paramatma and Paramatma has become Jivatma by some reason, and having become Jivatma, this Paramatma and now Jivatma is going through samsara. And this Jivatma, again living, going through this life of samsara, struggle, work very hard, and pray to Bhagavan, worship the Lord, and do punya karma, earn punyam. Finally, again Jivatma has to become Paramatma one day. This Paramatma has become Jivatma, thereby has become a samsari, again has to become Paramatma, going through a lot of hardship in order to attain freedom from this samsara. So what is mokshaha for them? Mokshaha, jivatma, paramatma alone has become jivatma. Jivatma has to become again paramatma. So attainment of paramatma, becoming paramatma, becoming Paramatma is in fact mokshaha. Therefore, they always work very hard. As long as they are working very hard to become Paramatma, moksha will be what now? Endless search. It will become an endless search. Why? Because they can never become Paramatma. There is no Jivatma at all. Therefore, Jivatma can never become Paramatma. The Paramatma. So here, this is one understanding. So here also we have to say, becoming. Paramatma becoming Jivatma, or Jivatma becoming Paramatma itself is what? Very improper expression. Why? Because if Paramatma is believed, if not known, is it? Paramatma is believed to be eternal, infinite reality. The Paramatma must be of the nature of changelessness. And how can the word becoming implies what? Paramatma undergoing a change, and which is something against nature. So that there is no Jivatma at all. How can the non-existent Jivatma become Paramatma? There is no way of Jivatma becoming Paramatma, and Paramatma becoming Jivatma also is not possible,
because Paramatma, infinite, eternal Paramatma, who is of the nature of changelessness, has become Jivatma, means a sentence of contradiction, because becoming implies change, undergoing a change. Understand one thing. And second thing, there are some people believe that Paramatma has not become Jivatma. All the Jivas were there once upon, one with Paramatma. They remained one with Paramatma. And something happened because of which all the Jivatmas who were one with Paramatma got separated from Paramatma. See, some people are of the view Paramatma has become Jivatma. And some people think all the Jivas were one with Paramatma once upon a time. They got separated from Paramatma. And all these Jivas, being separated, they go through life of samsara. And they have to struggle hard. Again, they have to study Shastram. They have to understand, live a life of values, dharma, live karma yoga, maybe some, I don't know, Then they have to again go back and join, merge with Paramatma. The separation has to come to an end by again reunion with the Lord. And becoming, is joining Paramatma is what now? Mokshaha. So these people who are of the view of Paramatma as becoming Jivatma, or who are of the view that Jiva once was one inseparable with Paramatma and got separated from Paramatma. Is it? Now separated Jiva has to become what now? Again become one with Paramatma. For all of them, their answer is the same, isn't it? What is the answer? He says in these verses. See, he says in this verse, what he means is an intrinsic nature of any given thing is said to be intrinsic because it should never change under any condition, in any situation. Like the heat, which is the intrinsic nature of the fire, will ever be there inseparably with the fire. It will never go away from fire. Which means the fire can never become cold fire or any other fire. Fire, wherever it is, in any condition, any situation, fire will always be hot because heat is inseparable intrinsic property. That is why we call it intrinsic. Isn't it? Similarly, intrinsic means that which does not change at all in any situation under any condition. Then what is intrinsic? Here, he uses, what is the intrinsic, what is swarupam of Paramatma? Brahma. Brahma Chaitanyam. So Paramatma swarupam is what now? Changelessness. Nirvikaram Brahma. Nirvikaram Brahma means what? No, Brahman, Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness, not subject to any modifications. That is Swarupam. That is the Swarupam. Then how can it undergo a change? Therefore, what is not subject to change will ever be a changeless thing. What is subject to change cannot be prevented from undergoing changes also. Isn't it? So savikaram, what is subject to change, will never become nirvikaram, a changeless one. What is nirvikaram, what is of the nature of changelessness, can never become object, something which is changing, subject to change also. A savikaram can never become nirvikaram, and nirvikaram can never become savikaram. What he says, na bhavati amrutam martyam. Amritam Martyam Nabhavati.
What does it mean?
Amritam Martyam Nabhavati. Martyam means a mortal. Amritam means immortal.
So, a changeless Paramatma, an immortal reality, does not become a mortal jiva.
Immortal Paramatma does not become a mortal jiva.
Our immortal reality cannot become an object subject to change.
Na martyam amritam tatha.
Now the immortal na martyam amritam na bhavati.
A mortal jiva also cannot become what? Immortal Paramatma.
In fact, there is no jiva at all.
Or you can simply say, what is subject to change can never become a changeless thing, reality.
He says, prakritehe anyatha bhavaha nakathanchit bhavishyati.
This sentence says only what I have already said.
Prakritehe means, prakritihi means the intrinsic nature, the swarupam.
Anyatha bhavaha means becoming different.
Nakathanchit bhavishyati means never does it happen.
See, the intrinsic change, nature of a given thing becoming different, isn't it?
Never happens.
What does it mean?
The intrinsic nature of anything will never undergo a change and become different.
So a nirvikaram cannot become a savikaram.
A changeless reality, changeless Paramatma can never become something which is subject to change.
So prakritehe anyatha bhavaha nakathanchit bhavishyati means the nature of the intrinsic nature of something,
you know, becoming different, intrinsic nature becoming different never happens.
Or changing, anyathavam changing, becoming different,
na kathanchit bhavishyati, never does it happen.
Like the we can never say the hot cold has become cold, the hot fire has become cold fire.
Is it? We can't say that.
Like, it's like you can say the heat in the fire now has become cold.
It's becoming different.
The intrinsic nature becoming different never happens.
If it can't change, that is why it's called intrinsic nature.
So here he says what Paramatma, who is of the nature of changelessness, can never become, now the immortal Paramatma can never become a mortal jiva.
Therefore the mortal jiva also, if there is a jiva who is a mortal, can never become Paramatma also.
Really speaking, there is no jiva at all.
And who is a, we can't talk about a jiva being immortal, mortal also.
Having said that, now he says,
Swabhavenamrito yasya,
Swabhavenamrito
yasya, dharmo gacchati martyatam, dharmo gacchati martyatam, kritake namrutastasya, kritake namrutastasya, katham stasyati nischalaha, stasyati nischalaha.
He says,
swabhavena amrutaha dharmaha yasya martyatam gacchati kritakena amrutaha tasya katam stasyati nischalaha.
See, in this verse, Gaudapada Acharya accepts such people, first, doesn't accept, he says, at least even for the argument's sake, I do not accept what you say, even if I accept what you say. Suppose I accept, no? What to say? Okay, Paramatma has become Jivatma. Or from Paramatma, Jivatma got separated. Now they had to work hard, you know, to get rid of the samsara. They had to become one with Paramatma again. Or they had to rejoin the Paramatma. Being separate from Paramatma, they had to go back and rejoin Paramatma. Even if you, if you say, it is called the argument of the supposition. Suppositional argument means, it's called Abhyupetya Vadaha. Okay, I accept, even if you say, he wants to say, suppose, imagine, if Paramatma, I don't accept that, Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness, which is prakritihi, it is an intrinsic nature which cannot change. There is no way of Paramatma being the cause. Cause means I undergo change. Therefore, there is no, Paramatma has not become Jiva or nor has it become the Jagat. There is no Jiva at all, first of all. And you say Paramatma has become Jiva and I am the Jivatma, I am a mortal. Isn't it? It's all misconceptions, wrong notions you entertain because of your ajnanam. Now, even if you say, I accept also, Paramatma has become Jivatma, or from Paramatma, Jivatma got separated, therefore the Jivatma has to again become Paramatma to attain moksha, even if you accept also, this Paramatma, once upon a time, you know, who is of the nature of changelessness, now has given up its nature, undergone a change, and become Jivatma, means again Jivatma becomes, no, Jivatma works very hard to become Paramatma. Or the Jivatma got separated from Paramatma, so works very hard to join, to have reunion with Paramatma. And that is what is Mokshaha means. Having this Jivatma working very hard, having become Paramatma, again, isn't it possible for such Paramatma, Jivatma, again to become Jivatma? Once it happened means, second time also it is possible. Then it is possible third time, fourth time also. Which means every time the Jivatma becomes Paramatma, what will happen? Again, this possibility of Paramatma becoming Jivatma. Again, there will be samsara. Again, Jivatma has to work hard to become Paramatma. Work so hard to become Paramatma, to have reunion with Paramatma, to merge, no, have merged with Paramatma. Again, all the work, effort you have put in goes waste. Why? Because again you become Parjivatma. Therefore, there will be continuity of samsara. In between, you will have some moksha for a short time. Again, there will be continuity of samsara. Which means samsara will be an endless process. Moksha will be, no? What now? Again, the permanent moksha will be impossible. Therefore, what he wants to conclude in these verses, verse 6, 7 and 8, we are not interested in temporary moksha. And we don't want to work so hard to have a short break, holiday. We are interested in Nitya Nirantara Sukham, everlasting moksha. And which, even if you attain such moksha, it will not. Which means all these people wait for moksha to happen on one fine day after becoming one with Paramatma, or after becoming Paramatma, or after joining Paramatma, which means moksha is an event which has to take place on such and such a day, in such and such a condition, which is going, it says, event which has to happen one fine day. And these people who are waiting for moksha to happen one day are like people who wait for the experience of Paramatma. Understand? Therefore, what he wants to conclude is, a mokshaha is not something to be attained at all. Mokshaha is the, in fact, very swarupam of everything, Paramatma. And you are Paramatma already. Therefore, you can never attain Paramatma, reach Paramatma, or go to Paramatma, become one with Paramatma, unit with Paramatma. You can never become Paramatma. You are already Paramatma. Not only you are Paramatma, all that is here is only Paramatma. There is no second thing, second reality other than Paramatma or Param Brahma. There is only Atma, there is only Brahma. Then moksha is your very swarupam. So you need not, you cannot attain Paramatma. You cannot reach Paramatma. Between you and Paramatma, there is no real physical distance at all. Not even there is time distance between you and Paramatma. The distance between you and Paramatma is only what? Caused by the ignorance, notional distance. In notion, you think you are a Jivatma. In your thinking, you are a Jivatma. Really speaking, even when you are thinking you are Jivatma, you are already Paramatma only. Even if you, while thinking, when you are thinking, I am a Jivaha, I am ignorant, I am Ajnani, I had to know, then I had to become Paramatma. When you think also, what? Even when you are thinking you are Jivatma, you are a limited individual, you are already Paramatma. So where are you Jivatma? Really you are Jivatma, or you are thinking, only in your notion. I am a Jivaha, I am an individual Jivatma, it's only in your notion. Therefore, what happens? I am different from the Lord. Lord is different from me. And the Lord is far away from me. And I have to reach or go to attain Paramatma. Means the distance between you and Paramatma is what? Only in your notion, in your thinking. There's no real physical time distance or physical distance. Which means this distance caused by, the notional distance between you and Paramatma, caused by what? Ajnanam. Therefore, only by removing the Ajnanam, you can remove the distance between you and Paramatma. You have to take ownership of the fact that I am Paramatma myself. Is it? What you need is, you need not reach, attain, but you need to know the Paramatma as your own swarupam, as your own swarupam. Isn't it? Therefore, what he wants to say here is in these verses, there is neither creation of the Jivaha, nor is there creation of the Jagat universe, objective universe. There is neither a creation of the experiencer, nor is there the creation of the experienced universe. There is no creation at all. The experiencer, one who obtains the experiencer, also is the manifestation of Brahma. That which is obtaining as the experienced is also manifestation of the same, one of the same reality, Brahman. There is only Brahma absolutely. There is no creation. Because for the creation to be there, for the Jiva and Jagat to be the effects, to be the products of Paramatma, Paramatma must become the Karanam, because Paramatma is not the Karanam. Because for Paramatma to become the Karanam, Paramatma has to undergo change. And Paramatma is of the nature of changelessness. Why? Because Paramatma is of the nature of eternity, timelessness and infinitude. Therefore, Paramatma becoming the Jagat or Jivaha is not possible. The immortal Paramatma can never become the mortal Jivatma, nor can the mortal Jivatma become the Paramatma also. In fact, Jivatma also can become Paramatma. There is no Jivatma at all, first of all. Understand? Jagat also, in fact, there is no Jagat. There is only Brahma. There is no creation. There is only Brahma. Therefore, this is the vision of the, this is the perspective of the person of vision of non-duality of the reality. This is the essence of the teaching and presented in verses 20, 21, 22, which again repeated here differently in these three verses. Before he enters into the negation of the views of other systems of philosophy. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.